Hello and welcome back to Catching Up on Capitol Hill, a series in which we discuss the latest in tax legislation and in tax policy. I'm your host, John Gimigliano. Well, let me welcome you to 2025. Yes, the year of the tax cliff we've been discussing for so long. We have a new Congress and soon a new president. But the topic of the hour, well, it's not new. It's familiar to you. How will Congress come to grips with the $4 trillion in expiring tax cuts scheduled to occur on December 31st, 2025? The tax cliff. There are so many angles to this question, and we will get to many of those. But today, we discuss the question du jour, the one that all of Washington, including the president-elect, is talking about. Will Congress pass one large bill in 2025, or maybe two smaller ones? Now, maybe this question sounds a bit mundane, but believe me, this question will affect how Congress addresses the tax cliff, when they will move the legislation, and honestly, it even affects whether they can pass the legislation itself. That's not hyperbole. This is the reality, driven in large part by the fact that Republicans don't have 60 votes in the Senate, and that they will need to use the special procedures of budget reconciliation to pass the bill with a simple majority of 51 votes. We'll talk more about this in the episode. Now, that might sound fine, you say, but boy, does reconciliation open up a can of worms, a can that, as the year goes on, we will discuss more. But for today, let's go back to focusing on just the one bill or two bill question. And to help me do that, we are joined by our friends Tom Stout and Jennifer Gray. All right, then. So my first question, Jennifer, this one's for you. This whole question, one bill, two bills, why are we even having this conversation? Why one or two? Why not seven? Why not 10? Can you talk about why this conversation, this debate is even happening about one or two?
A former Senate parliamentarian had ruled a few years ago that there could only be one reconciliation bill per fiscal year that addressed revenue issues. So the practical effect of that is that Congress can only pass one reconciliation bill per fiscal year with tax items in it. So the question is whether they will just do a reconciliation bill for FY25, which we are in the middle of, and that ends on September 30, 25, or whether they will also do a reconciliation bill for FY26, which will begin on October 1st, 25, and end on 9/30/26. So they can only do one reconciliation bill per fiscal year, but they have two fiscal years within the calendar year, if that makes sense. So they could potentially do two reconciliation bills this calendar year.
Makes sense to me, but we've been doing this a long time, right? Because this is how Republicans moved the TCJA. It's how Democrats ultimately moved the Inflation Reduction Act and the American Rescue Plan Act is through budget reconciliation. So let's just recapitulate some of this. The current fiscal year we are in is FY25. Republicans could pass a reconciliation bill for FY25, but am I right that they would have to finish the bill and send it to the president for signature by September 30th. Is that right?
That is correct.
And if they fail to do that, what happens to the FY25 reconciliation bill?
It goes poof. Basically, it is no longer available to be used for legislation.
Well, they don't want that. Okay, so, but then they would have a new fiscal year. We'd be into FY26 when we get to midnight on September 30th, right? Because now we'll be FY26. They could pass a new budget and new budget reconciliation instructions for a second bill. So if Bill 1 dies September 30th, does that then mean they can only pass Bill 2 beginning October 1?
No, and I think that's one of the things that can be confusing is that they could actually start and even enact a reconciliation bill for the upcoming fiscal year before the fiscal year even starts. So theoretically, they could do an FY26 fiscal year reconciliation bill before FY26 even started. So if they were really together, they could technically enact two reconciliation bills really as quickly as they could get everything together. They could do both of those before the end of this fiscal year on September 30th. I don't anticipate that happening, but that is a possibility.
So see, this is why it's confusing. So right. So September 30th is absolutely a deadline for the FY25 bill. But October 1 is not the absolute beginning point for the FY26 bill. That can occur before then. Okay. I think we got it. Everybody got that? All right. It's confusing, but this is why we're having this debate. Should we do one bill, and we're going to get into lots of why one or two and what would be in it. But this is why we're talking about one or two and not 10, because you only get one per federal fiscal year. Okay, Tom, question for you. Let's just talk about tax now, because there's a lot of moving pieces out there that Republicans have said they want to do. But let's just talk about tax for a moment. But let's just say they did two bills. Would one be all tax and one be non-tax, or could they spread tax across the different ones? And is there a distinction of why one tax item would be in one bill versus in a different bill? Do we have any indication on any of that yet?
Yeah, just to remind everybody, I mean, the reason we're talking about one bill, two bills and reconciliation is the Republicans are going to need to use reconciliation to get done a lot of the priorities they need to get done because they don't have 60 votes in the Senate. And that's what this is all about to begin with. The idea of two bills would be to have tax in one bill and split the other items that they want to do under reconciliation. Those would be the ones that have broader Republican appeal that they could pass more quickly so they could show progress. The two elements would be immigration, which is border security and money they need for the deportation program that the Trump administration is planning, and then an energy component, which would consist of lifting the ban on LNG export licenses, expediting permits for drilling on federal land. Now they need to do something about offshore drilling since the Biden administration has blocked that, so they have to unblock it with legislation. And then they also want to replace oil in the Strategic Petroleum Reserve that was drawn down at the beginning of the war in Ukraine. And then they'll probably add some cats and dogs to it. The idea is to do that one quickly if they're going to do two bills and leave the tax for the second reconciliation bill because it's much more difficult. They're going to have to deal with the revenue cost, which would be $4.5 trillion if they were going to make these things, the TCJA extensions, permanent, and maybe deal with some of the other things that Trump talked about during the presidential campaign, like exclusion of tip income. That's going to require a lot of negotiation, particularly because they've got a number of deficit hawks in the House who are going to be concerned about increasing deficit spending because of the tax cuts if they're not offset, or cutting spending, which is also difficult to do. So all that's going to take longer. So the idea of two bills would be to do the quick and dirty one and then leave the tax for the second bill.
So that's interesting. You're saying here that it seems like tax would go all together, and in your scenario, in a second bill. Now, at one point, back in the distant past of December of 2024, there was talk of doing two bills, but doing bill one, the tax cliff, right? The 2025 expiring items, get those done, extend those, done right away. That's bill one. Avoided the tax cliff. And then later in the year, coming back to bill two, which might include other tax items like the things that Trump had promised on the campaign trail, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, any of those things, maybe the 15% rate on domestic manufacturing. It sounds like we don't necessarily think that's, well, of course we don't know, but it sounds now like it's either tax all goes together as one bill, or we're going to do two bills and it's going to have non-tax, and then all the other tax stuff will be in a second bill. Is that what we're saying?
I think that's right. Yeah, I think the earlier plan is probably going by the wayside. We're now talking about if we do two bills, a tax bill, and then the rest of the reconciliation.
Everything else.
Or do one gigantic bill with all of it in there.
All right. Got it. All right, Jennifer, back to you then. Okay, I'm going to ask you. Here you go. Put on all your persuasive skills and talents here, Jennifer. Give us the pitch for two bills. This has been Majority Leader John Thune in the Senate has largely been the advocate for two bills. Give us your pitch as to why we should do this as two bills, not one. Go.
Well, I think the advantage to doing two bills is that they could move the easy items quickly, as Tom just indicated. So they could get the president a win quite quickly, potentially as early as February or March, if they moved very, very quickly and had a limited bill. And so I think the major argument is that it would allow the president to have a win and potentially allow them to move some of the items like border security that they think are very high priorities and get those in place as quickly as possible without having to wait on some of the more complex items like tax that we anticipate would take longer to negotiate out.
Okay, so fine. Let's get a quick win. Like nothing's ever as easy as it appears, but the idea being let's get a quick win and then we'll come back and do the tax stuff. Does that create a risk then that the tax stuff would fail? Or is what Thune's saying and the advocates of doing two bills that tax is too big to fail? Like we absolutely know we're going to get tax done anyway in a second bill because we can't let it not happen. So that's when we're running out of steam and running out of time at the end of the year. That's the one that is the backstop that we're going to do. Is that part of the rationale we think?
I think so. But again, this is somewhat of the argument between the House and the Senate right now. from what we can tell, Senate Republicans seem to feel a little more confident in their ability to move a tax bill through the Senate. And I think House Republicans seem a little more concerned about whether or not they would be able to get the votes from their caucus to pass a tax bill without some of other sweeteners that those same members might really like, things like border security on the same bill, to just encourage them to vote for the bill that would include tax.
Well, that's a perfect segue to my question for you then, Tom. Okay, you heard Jennifer's pitch. Here's why we should do two. We'll put you in the shoes of Jason Smith, the Ways and Means Chairman, or Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House. Why one? Excel us on why we should only do one bill.
Jennifer hit on it. A former powerful chairman of the Ways and Means Committee used to say that the way to pass a difficult bill is to make it bigger. In other words, to add the sweeteners to it to secure their vote. And in this case, the difficulty that Johnson and Smith, Ways and Means Chairman, are going to have in the House is they've got a very thin majority where they can only afford to lose one or two votes. And in order to bring all the deficit hawks on board, who may not like how much money is being spent for tax cuts if they can't find the spending offsets, is to lure them into doing the bill by adding things that they really like immigration, expansion of hydrocarbon exploration, and, you know, whatever else they might need to put into the bill in order to get their votes. That's the game with the one gigantic bill. The problem being it just takes longer.
Yeah, it's more complicated. And even President-elect Trump said that. He was asked about this, right? And he sort of didn't give the most direct answer. He started off by saying one big, beautiful bill, but then he immediately backtracked and said, however, I just want to get it done. And whatever easier way is to get it done. And he acknowledged that if we have to do one bill, it is going to take longer than getting a quick win. Here's another question for you, Tom. Do you think members of Congress know, even the freshmen, that one of the oldest lines in Washington is, your priority isn't in this bill, but I promise you it'll be in the second bill? That's sort of like the check is in the mail argument for a lot of members of Congress. They don't know how that goes. Is that right?
That is true. And that's one potential obstacle they've got to doing even the quick and dirty bill that has a lot of things people like in it, is they're going to want their particular stuff in it, whether it's planned to be in there or not. So that may slow things down even for the quick bill.
But what happens if the second bill never comes, despite best efforts? Last question for both of you. That's very interesting. One bill, two bills. When are we going to know? Here it is, January 7th. The inauguration's not for another almost 2 weeks. When are we going to know whether or not they're going to do this as one bill or two bills? Let me start with you, Jennifer. Like, what are we looking for to make this determination?
We are looking for a budget. So the first step to doing a reconciliation bill is that they have to pass a budget, which basically authorizes a reconciliation bill. So we're waiting for Congress to pass a budget. Once we have that, that will give us a lot of insights into what they think that first reconciliation bill will look like and what types of items will be in it. We'll be looking to see what sort of instructions they give to the tax writing committees. I expect we'll see that by the end of January or maybe that first weekend in February. I think they're going to want to move on that budget very quickly. The last two times we've had a first year of a president come in, they've moved very quickly on a budget. If we don't see it that quickly, I personally am going to take that as a bad sign for their ability to move everything quickly. That's a sign to me that they may be having internal strife.
That reconciliation bill, we'll get the contours of what they think it will look like, because they would have to include the deficit amount in that. You don't think they can't just create like a blank placeholder so that they can continue to negotiate? They have to make some really hard decisions in developing the budget. Is that it?
There's some flexibility there, but they really need to have some level of detail in there, and reading into that detail will give us some parameters of what their thinking process is.
What about you, Tom? What do you think are the important things to look for? And I'm sure you agree with that one. What else?
Yeah, I agree with that. The budget resolution is the key. Obviously, the House, which is going to go first with this, is going to endeavor to get a deal together, and it has to be at least outlined in fairly detailed terms in the budget resolution. And they're on a short string. Johnson came out of the meeting over the weekend saying that Trump agreed with him on one bill, but he also promised to have it done by May. And that would require the budget resolution to be done by March or April at the latest. And indeed, the incoming majority leader, Steve Scalise, came out today and said they need a budget resolution by February to be done by April. He's probably giving them a month's leeway. I think that's going to be the key, is by February or March, they're going to have a budget resolution out for one bill if they're going to go that way. Otherwise, it's probably on to plan B in two bills.
So the idea being that John Thune can be in the two-bill camp, but ultimately the Senate is going to have to agree with House Republicans to pass a budget. And there's a deadline on when that's got to happen if they want to stick to any meaningful timetable. And so they're going to have to reach a resolution on that. And to your point, Jennifer, if they don't, if we're into February and they still don't have a budget because the House and the Senate still hasn't agreed to their strategy, then it's not a good sign. What about Trump in all this? Do you think Trump will make this decision, or do we think that this decision is so unique to Congress that only members of Congress can work this out themselves? Anybody?
Well, clearly Trump's going to have a say in this, and he can push people, and he's going to have to do a lot of pushing on the House side, given that very thin majority that they have there. And how patient is he going to be if he looks like he's not getting any of his priorities passed, and we start to look at late spring heading into early summer? So one would think the kind of short time frame that was indicated by what Johnson said after the meeting and what Scalise is saying now is probably going to hold.
At least so far, Trump seems to be reluctant to put his foot down on this. He came out with a Truth Social post, an X post, I believe it was Sunday evening, as you said, John, saying that there should be one big, beautiful bill. And then he went on a radio talk show the next morning and said his preference would be for one bill, but basically however they could get it to him. So he seems to be reluctant at this point to really put his foot down and say it needs to be one way or the other. So I find that interesting because he really has a lot of political capital at this point for him to use if he chose to do so.
Right. He may never have more, right? At this point, this is when the incoming president has the most influence. They spend political capital. It wanes with all presidents over the course of the administration. So maybe he's saving his political capital for other things, but it's right. He has not put his foot down one way or the other, and Congress is going to have to sort this out. And it's one of the things we're going to be watching this year, because as we started by saying, how this plays out will determine when, whether it's going to happen, we're going to get bills in the first couple of months, or whether or not this is going to be a December thing. It depends how, what it looks like, the bill. And of course, it matters on either the possibility of whether or not we get a bill at all. So one of the important things to watch for. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Jennifer, for a great way to start off 2025 as we begin our long conversation about the tax cliff. In closing, just one last observation. In case it wasn't clear in our discussion, if Congress goes with the two-bill strategy, we are almost certainly looking at Bill 2 in Q4 of 2025. Yes, Jennifer correctly stated that it doesn't have to be that way, but history tells us that it probably will. Now, I know many of you are left remembering December of 2017 when the TCJA itself passed, and what a mad scramble that last week of the year was. Probably don't want to repeat that. So maybe that leaves you rooting for the one bill strategy instead. But here's the thing. I don't have great confidence that even a one bill strategy doesn't leave us in the exact same spot, a Q4 enactment. That would mean then that Congress would use the fiscal year 2026 reconciliation instruction to pass the bill, and we would be basically in the same boat as the two bill strategy. Remember, the ultimate political deadline here is December 31st, 2025. And we know nobody loves a hard deadline more than Congress. Now you might say, but wait, John, that's wasting the FY25 reconciliation bill. Why would Congress do that? Well, it's not so much that they want to waste it. It's just that big, complex bills like tax legislation, well, they're hard under any scenario. So here's my last point to you. Okay, we've got a Republican Congress coming in, hoping to pass two bills urged on by President Trump, yet they fail on the first bill, and they have to move a second reconciliation bill in Q4 to finally succeed. I'm not talking about 2025 here. I'm talking about 2017, when Republicans failed to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, their number one priority, before they finally succeeded in Q4 with the TCJA. Look, I'm not saying it will happen just that way again. I'm just saying, obviously, it can. So maybe don't plan that December cruise just yet, because we might be busy. Thanks again for tuning in to Catching Up on Capitol Hill. Take care, and I hope to see you soon.